Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. Today is Saturday, September 23rd, and we are coming to you live. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I am Ash Riot.
And together here with Travis, we are Hologram, coming to you from Surrey, British Columbia. And grateful to be back live after a hiatus over the summer a little bit. We've been taking it easy, doing some traveling, doing some writing, doing some recording, and our last live show was August 12th, and that was part one of Spiritual Hoaxes versus Spiritual Truths. And at the end of the show, we decided we needed to do a part two. So this is part two.
We're at part two now.
Part two. So we're really grateful to Ryan for calling in to our last show. We took the time today to listen to the entire show so that we didn't repeat ourselves at all, and just loved hearing what Ryan had to share. So for those of you who haven't listened to our part one show, you're welcome to check out the show on the archives. August 12th will be the date that you're looking to find for part one. And yeah, also other shows, whatever tickles your fancy.
Floats your boat.
Can you think of any other ones?
Whatever
tickles your fancy, floats your boat, makes you chuckle.
Whatever.
I don't know.
There's some good ones, isn't there?
I know.
Whatever floats your boat,
we're blanking
tickles
out.
Your fancy, whatever. I don't know. If you have some good ones,
call in.
Please call in.
Yeah, we'll change the whole premise of the show right to different words for makes you excited. We are going to start today. Ash doesn't even know this, but she's going to start.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm starting today, and I first wanted to say, hey, yo, peeps, it's really great that we can do the show again. We've missed it, and I think over the summer we've even learned a lot, so maybe we're even more cultured and more advanced in our radio show broadcasting quality than a couple months ago. We've seen a lot, we've done a lot, been through a lot, it's awesome. So, anywho, it's about spiritual hoaxes, but I want to expand that and say not just spiritual hoaxes, but hoaxes of any kind that can be detrimental or that we can learn from. Because I've seen so many different things, you know, even over the past while. I mean, there's even been hoaxes of, like, celebrity deaths or, you know, there's so many hoaxes that basically money is garnered from. And I don't like that. I think that any hoax or any lie at the expense of another person really sucks the big one. And it's all about how people are presented, how things are presented. I even heard a quote today from a really well-known minister. I want to touch base a little bit about what I said last time about the televangelism and how I went to school with somebody who was really into that. Their father was famous. And there's a really well-known, I guess, preacher named John MacArthur. And this really sums up what I feel about televangelism and hoaxes. And this opinion, I really feel, mirrors my opinion. And if it mirrors your opinion, you can call in and let me know. But here's the quote from John MacArthur. Someone needs to say this plainly. The faith healers and health and wealth preachers who dominate religious television are shameless frauds. Their message is not about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing spiritual or miraculous about their onstage, how do you say that word, chicanery? It is all a devious ruse designed to take advantage of desperate people. They are not godly ministers, but greedy impostors who corrupt the word of God for money's sake. They are not real pastors who shepherd the flock of God, but hirelings whose only design is to fleece the sheep. Their love of money is glaringly obvious in what they say as well as how they live. They claim to possess great spiritual power, but in reality they are rank materialists and enemies of everything holy. That's John MacArthur. And that meant a lot to me because, you know, to see actually somebody who's very much involved in evangelism as well as Christianity, kind of calling it out and saying how it is, that's pretty important. I thought that was really great. But I also want to point out that this can easily, you know, you can replace the word God with whatever you want in here, and that's so much of the media. The media is completely money-hungry and rich with so many hoaxes. They're just diluted. They're polluted with it. And so that's where I want to start. The premise of this show is to take it a step further than spiritual hoaxes, to take it a step further and say things about whatever you find to be very infected and what you find to be very wrong with certain things that really don't need to be so backwards. Simple things that are at your expense being taken advantage of, and you're being taken advantage of as well. So that's John MacArthur. He's pretty cool. I don't know much about him, but I really thought I really dug what he said, especially going against kind of some of his own people, even just to say his own truth. And I admire somebody who does that.
Well, that's touching on what we spoke about last time. We were talking about television evangelism, talking about evangelism. We also brought up one of our recent new songs called "Where's the Grace," where that was all about how we felt after we watched a television evangelist actually ask for $100,000 donations. And so we were talking about that in the song. And, you know, you might ask yourself, and maybe you want to ask us this, but why is a rock band talking about spiritual things? If you notice a lot of our radio shows, we really do talk about spirit. And we are a rock band. Yeah. I mean, we are essentially a rock band, and we're more than that, but but as Hologram, that's how we identify ourselves as a rock band. And I want to answer that because I'm kind of just jumping the gun and thinking that you're already thinking this or questioning it and wondering why, because we're not, well, I am actually, I was going to say we're not ordained ministers.
But you are.
I know.
She actually is.
I am.
Here's a tidbit for you. She actually is an ordained minister.
But it's not the essence of being in a rock band. It's not the essence, or is it? That's what I want to kind of touch on here a little bit myself, just personally. I want to share the reason why we as Hologram not only write about spiritual things, but also talk about spiritual things, not only on this radio show, but also whenever we speak to people, because we feel that that's the core of everything. I mean, we do. We also dig knowledge, and we love mental conversation and whatnot too. But we really, the essence of even a good mental conversation is the spirit behind it.
Yeah, of course.
And so this is why we talk a lot about spirit, because we think that people. Well, personally, I'll say I don't think people talk enough about it, or they talk too much about it.
That's
you
true.
Get kind of but. I wanted to sort of touch on what you said about hoaxes, too. I wrote this down as you were talking about it. I didn't want to interrupt you, but you said, why do hoaxes occur? You said money. But I want to add to that. There could be an element of money. You know, someone will put a hoax on to gain. You know, they'll, for example, a fraudulent. Back in the olden days, they used to do these elixirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, this will cure everything,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
$2. And, so it was a hoax, you know, a lot of it was just, you know, honey and water. But today and throughout the ages, hoaxes have been inspired by not only money, financial gain, but also sensationalism, to create a sensationalism around anything.
Popularity and reputation.
You know, to make something popular, to put a spin on something. This is big in the celebrity world right now, like PR agents and whatnot will, like even, for example, Morgan Freeman was declared dead. What, about a week ago? Did you even know this?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Morgan Freeman is.
He's the man who played God in the most recent film, but he's also a cool actor.
Oh,
he's
actually,
really cool.
I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so suddenly in the Twitter world and all over the social media, people are saying that Morgan Freeman is dead. right? And everybody's, oh, is that? And they did that with Bon Jovi about, I don't know how many months ago.
I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have two celebrities that are declared dead. Now, some of it could be just be, you know, someone mistakenly saying that, or it could be someone who is just being a bit
presumptuous,
cantankerous.
Strange, yeah.
But it also could be PR people, because they know the power of sensationalism.
Yeah.
And so this is another thing, is recognizing where the hoax comes and what the intention behind the hoax is. And there's also personal gain to be found in a particular hoax. And, for example, people who lie about situations or who lie about others. The personal gain that can happen there is how one or others may perceive them. And they want someone to see them in a certain or particular way, so they'll lie about them. And this is something I'm going through right now, because in my last relationship, I'm dealing with someone who is lying. And it's really hard to be on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And I think about the celebrities. I think about celebrities and what they go through, and how all of a sudden their lives are so open, mm-hmm. you know, to criticism, and so open to anybody putting a spin on it, whether, you know, a journalist or even, you know, the photographers who took pictures of Princess Kate. You know, without her knowledge and without her permission, and just that kind of voyeurism, and just, it's almost as if people feel that it's okay to do that kind of thing, and it's so not okay. And this is why, again, we have to look at what inspires people. In that case, that mm-hmm. is about money.
But sometimes it doesn't even have to be about anything. They create the ruckus. I mean, even what you said you were going through, that's kind of, like, I understand that, but, I mean, where it doesn't always have to be for popularity or celebrity. Like, I mean, it could even, that's why I said reputation. It could even
but
be
this
reputational.
This is what I'm saying. This is, in this case, it's about wishing to be perceived in a certain way, mm-hmm. which is not even a correct perception. But we can, you know, we can lie about someone and try to alter their perception of them based on the lie. And unfortunately, this happens too often, because people would, you know, love to grab onto gossip. And again, I was talking about the celebrities because I was thinking about my situation and thinking about the tabloids and thinking about what, you know, celebrities go through in
yeah,
terms of
harsh.
National Enquirer or the People magazines or the Us magazines or the TMZs.
Yeah.
And sure, we're going to get a dose of truth in all of this reporting, but we also definitely will get lots of untruth, hoaxes, you know, based on sensationalism, based on creating a story. And it's almost as if they give themselves permission to castigate a person based on their celebrity or based on their perception of mm-hmm. of how they have a certain amount or degree of power in whatever way, whether that's financial power, sexual power, emotional mm-hmm. power, mental power. And people are mm-hmm. guilty of this. Not only, we can't just kind of look at the celebrity world and say, oh, bad photographer or bad mm-hmm. journalist. We are guilty of doing this to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, and, yeah. And, you know, so where is truth in all of this? Where does the truth reside? And why do we say that we're so preoccupied with truth? Mm-hmm. We're seekers of truth.
Yeah.
We proclaim to wish to have truth, mostly as a society. That's our truth.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're not really living it.
Yeah.
We're almost enamored of the untruth. We're almost more enamored of sensationalism, things that will bring somebody down, things that will make somebody look bad.
Mm-hmm.
If we feel that someone may have more than we have or may be more than we are, why is it that we wish to wish them harm? Why is it that we want to bring them down?
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know.
I would love to know that. I know it in a way. I think personally, I know it from my own experience. I don't know it from anybody else's, because I can't speak for any of you. But maybe even societally, I can sort of make a comment about just that. Again, getting back to spirit,
mm-hmm.
when we feel that we are less than, it's because we are not connecting to the greater one
mm-hmm.
that we all belong to. because we are all about separation. And once we're about separation and judgment, then that's about being apart from, not acknowledging the oneness that we all are. Mm-hmm. And then fear sets in because, of course, what do you feel when you are apart? You feel frightened, alone, scared, insecure. And what do most of us do when we're afraid? We hurt others.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Like as soon as somebody feels that they're in the limelight in a negative way, their first instinct is to shoot back rather than accept help or rather than
take personal responsibility.
Exactly.
And that comes right down to it, too. It's, you know, how many of us are the blamers? How many of us play that blame game?
Yeah.
I am not wealthy because he took my job away. I am not happy because she took my boyfriend away. If I had that particular person in my life, I would be happy. If I had this car, if I had my Scion.
Yes, which I will have.
I would be happy.
Yeah, I'm going to have the Scion.
Or, you know, blaming others, blaming situations. Just stop it. Stop it. Because when it's all said and done, yeah, shit happens to each and every one of us. And each and every one of us have our shit stories.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is that we are a result mm-hmm. of our personal choices.
Oh, always.
Now, certain things will come in, of course. You know, we can't stop the death of a family member. Or the loss of a job. Perhaps it's that, you know, people are downsizing or job is gone. But those are, again, those are opportunities.
Instead of seeing them as, you know, a death, see them as a rebirth.
Well, we have to grieve the loss because we you know, most of us aren't really too hip to change. Most of us appreciate continuity in our lives, right? And so mm-hmm. When a partner says they no longer want to be with you, for example, that's big. But instead of blaming the partner or blaming the boss for the job being gone, take a look at your own part in it. Accept it as, you know, get to a place of acceptance and surrender to what is. Grieve it. Of course we have to give ourselves space to grieve it. But let go of the resentment, let go of the blaming, let go of the bitterness. Recognize that what's best for the company or the person is also best for us in the end. And have some dignity. I mean, I really feel strongly about maintaining respect, a level of respect for each other, a level of dignity in ourselves. I'm not one to talk about my personal life. It's not really something I want to get into other than the things I feel that would serve. And that's why I share very openly and honestly about my past with regards to my drug addiction.
Well, it's important, I think, because that could, it like really in a way be what you did for me even before. Like, you know, that really helps. When you see somebody being honest, you can't help but want to be honest yourself. You can't help but want to change anything that's less than honest.
But when it comes to the ending of relationships, and this isn't just marriages, it could also be friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can outgrow friendships, and I've outgrown friendships. I'm sure maybe even other friends have outgrown me. I do respect and bless each relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have my feelings around some relationships, but I'm not going to share them with the world. I'll share them with myself, with my higher power, God, goddess, whatever I choose to call it, and my closest friends. But that's where it stays. And I've been in situations where I have been, throughout my life, I've been falsely accused. I've been slandered. Mm-hmm. I've been gossiped about. I have had things said about me that are absolutely preposterous, and
totally
I don't even know.
Crappy and not true.
Yeah, but this isn't even recent. I'm talking even back when I was a teen, like a late teen and early 20s, and it's been a life thing that I've actually shaken my head and gone, do people really do that? Do people really make things up or embellish them to the point, you know, where they look like they're noble and I'm suddenly in their drama, mm-hmm. unwillingly, because I'm not even really, the participation they've put me in their drama has nothing to do with anything I've done.
I know. It's definitely happened where you're just standing there going, like with your mouth agape going, what?
Exactly.
What did you, what?
And it's so hurtful because, you know, we're supposed to be in safe places with each other. And especially when you have a long-term relationship, friendship with someone, you're thinking, even if that friendship comes to an end in the way that you're used to it being, you're thinking that, hey, at least I can honor this relationship with dignity and keep it, I even want to use the word sacred, because every relationship has a sacredness to it. Even ones that you can even in hindsight go, well, that was an abusive one. What was I thinking? Oddly enough, it too can also be sacred.
Of course it can.
Because it brings us.
And even if it's not working, like say it's not even working, say there's a relationship and it's not working, you can still go, like even me, I can look back, say 3 years and say, wow, that was really damaging. But because that meant so much to me then, I'm not going to take away what it meant. Why would we do that to ourselves? And even if we're mad at the other person, having self-respect, I think, is big. And that's one thing that I've seen you do, which is really cool, because I've seen you go through a lot of crap recently.
Yeah.
Well, not recently, like in the past year or so.
Yeah.
And...
Well, it's crap. We call it crap, but a lot of pain based on another's intentional wish and desire to cause harm. And it's really hard. It's really hard to experience the pain and the sense of betrayal. I think that's the biggest thing, is a sense of betrayal, because when you are so close to someone for so many years, and suddenly feeling, really making efforts throughout that, knowing there's some issues, but suddenly understanding and seeing that there really is no safety in it. Mm-hmm. There is no trust. There is no...
And where was that special bond?
And it was based on a lot of hoaxes.
That's what I was just going to say. This is definitely a show about hoaxes. You were hoaxed. You've been had.
Yeah, but I mean... Every one of us has, and
of
it's
course,
it's
me
also
too.
Exactly. But it's, I think what I'm trying to do very openly and candidly, because this something came up today that spurred this on for me, because there's a part of me that thinks, isn't it over yet? And then something else comes up, and I go, I can't believe this, and I don't want to be that person who is equally damaging. I don't want to be that person who suddenly starts retaliating and attacking. And I could speak a lot of truths in my defense to show how harmful and how untrue certain things are. But is it worth it?
It's that's the question to it. You're going to get a 50-50 response. If there's a whole bunch of people in the room, you're polling them, you're going to get a 50-50 response, because, you know, I believe that sometimes it's totally worth it to be able to say, look, here's my voice. What's been said about me is not right. It's not true. And this is that. But then you kind of go, wow, does my standing up for myself perpetuate this?
Yeah, but what is standing up for yourself? Because I'm going to tell you a story. One time, we have this really cool friend. Her name is Jeannie, and she's so beautiful and wise and fun and spiritual.
We used to have a show right after us.
Exactly. She used to have...
The field.
The creative field.
Yeah.
But she's gone on to do other things now. But anyway, Jeannie is extremely intuitive, extremely connected, and... She used to speak and we worked together on the board of a church, and we were both presidents at different times, and we were on the board together, and we would also speak. She's also a reverend, and we would speak at this church, and I'll never forget one time she told the story that stood out to me. And here I'm going to share it with you all,
share
too,
it.
Because it's so profound, and this is why I don't retaliate.
Say it.
There was this preacher who lived in this small town, and he was an upstanding man, and all people saw him as a good man, and he was a quiet man. He kept to himself, and he basically did his duty at the church and had his own life. And one day, someone, a parishioner, I think this is based on a true story too, actually, a parishioner who was a young girl, probably maybe 16 years old, became pregnant and accused him of fathering her child. So her parents go to him, and basically at this point they had the baby. She had had the baby. She had said that he was the father. So the parents come with this girl to his door and say, "You are the father of this baby. You must take care of it." And he just looks at them and he says, "Okay, and so it is." Takes the baby and takes it in. Looks after the baby, treats the baby like it's his own, I guess. And I think when the baby was maybe 1.5 years old, the girl finally confessed that it wasn't, in fact, the preacher. He had nothing to do with her. He never, ever was with her. And he gave the child back.
Wow.
And I was thinking when she told the story, the whole point of the story is he never denied it. It wasn't true. But he basically said, "And so it is." He was accepting what was. He wasn't fighting it. It was a lie. It actually harmed his reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't defend it. He didn't get up in arms and become angry and say, "How dare you accuse me of such thing? This will affect my, you know, church leadership," which is obviously going to do.
Of course.
People are going to talk about him, gossip about him, backstab him, front stab him. And what I learned from that story was exactly what I'm going through now and why I don't retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
Is because it really all that really matters is that I know, the greater force knows. All things I truly believe will be revealed. I know that in time, maybe not in the time that we think that it should, perhaps even after my death, but it will be.
That's one important lesson. So many of us are really obsessed with having things happen in the time.
Our time?
Yeah, in our time. And that's even me too. Like, I mean, lately in my life, I've been finding that I don't have enough time for anything. Like, I just feel like everything is just, my time is spoken for, literally. Like, you know, it's just like so much going on. And then I go, okay, just let it go. Things will happen. But I mean, there is a certain degree of you needing to, you know, take something for yourself, because otherwise, you know, you're not really gonna, it just sucks. But, you know, like,
I love when you think out loud.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was just doing. Anyway. But yeah, I agree. And you know what? Like, to me, like, hoaxes are such, they're lies, basically. A hoax is another word for lies. And how affecting they can be is nuts. It's absolutely crazy. You can change, like, Twitter is a good example. You can post something on Twitter and then somebody else will pick that up. Somebody else will pick that up. 40,000 there, another 1,000 there. And your perception of one person or one thing or one band or one whatever will change to so many, even if it's not every ear that's heard it or every eye that's seen it. Holy shit, people. We have such power, yet we're feeling so powerless, and that's why we're doing all this crap. Be nice to everyone. There you go.
Be kind.
Call in.
Kindness goes. Be kind. Call in. Kindness goes a long way.
Give them the number.
Oprah talks about kindness. You give them the number.
okay, Dawn is going to give us the number.
No, it's okay. I wrote it down.
Oh, great.
I thought yours, why you said give them the number is that it was there.
Oh, no.
If you'd like to call in and discuss this with us,
perhaps please
do. About your personal experience with hoaxes.
We're all being personal today.
Truths.
Thanks, Dawn.
The number is 888. Oh, where'd you get this? This is old. Oh, no. 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008. It's so wonderful to know that Dawn's listening to us.
Call in and get something special.
He sends us the numbers. That's
why we're going
little,
to give you the fusion if you call in.
Yes, we will give you the fusion. Once again, mail your request or just say, hey, heard you so... would love your song, or maybe if you don't love it, would want it, would desire it.
We'll
maybe
give
I'll
it
give
to
it
you
listen.
For free. Just write us.
Give it to us for free to ashriot@rocketmail.com.
We've been doing a lot of demoing.
Oh, yeah.
And doing a lot of fabulous...
A lot of writing.
Yeah, so
really
much
cool
writing.
Stuff.
So much writing. And
the being muses in the studio, are with us.
We're, yeah, we've been in the studio with some good friends and
oh,
Cheryl's
yeah.
favorite dude.
Yeah.
And just rocking it out. And, you know, it's been such a good experience to be able to go, whoa, did we write that?
Like maybe we didn't.
And you know, it's not like we're even being, there's no
us.
Ego. It's just, it's so nice to feel that we have, anybody can have something that they're loving that they're doing rather than, like, we're so... rich with self-criticism, like people in this world, that it's
oh,
so
yeah.
nice when we can just be like, wow, we're a part of something we really love to be a part of, and it's better than it ever was. I mean, you know, I'm grateful to the early stages of this and the recordings that we've had and done,
yeah, yeah.
but compared to now, I really see what it's like to create music with freedom. I see what it's like to be able to create music and not, like, you know, I've done this before in my life, in past bands or whatever, but be under a constraint where it's just... you could hear a pin drop, and it's just, I'd rather just have such peace while creating music, and this is the first time in my life I've really had that. This is the first time ever. Because even in other bands, I've had fun in some of them, but this is the first time that there's no drama. That it's just, no hoax, people. No hoax.
Well, we definitely value in our own lives, and even as a band, it's important as artists that I think if you anybody that I admire as an artist, whether it's a musician or a painter, a sculptor or a writer or a poet, each of them, there's a thread of seeking not only beauty, but also truths in their own life and their own surroundings. And we are definitely seekers. We also like to think of ourselves as finders because we believe in the power of words. And if we are left in the seeking, perhaps we will always be in that state. But we like to think of finding. So we have Betty from Burnaby on line 2. Hey, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hello, Betty. I'm sorry, I can't hear Betty.
Hello.
Hey, Betty.
Hello?
Betty.
Hi.
How are you? I hear you
fine.
Now.
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I thought I'd better tune in to you tonight, and it's a pretty interesting topic that you're... that you've got going there.
Radio brings us together.
Yes, radio has brought us together again. And thank you for saying it's interesting. It's kind of going on its own thread of just based on personal, our own lives. What's going on for you with this topic?
Well, you know, there is a couple of points there that I thought were really well made, like the story that Jeannie told you in church. I was reading one of the books I was reading. I can't remember which one it was, but there was something that was pretty interesting there too. That there was two monks that were walking along, and they're supposed to not, you know, talk to anyone and things like this. And one monk had seen a lady had fallen in the mud in some water, so he went over and picked her up. And so these two monks continue to walk down the street and down the road, I should say. And the one monk said, "I can't get over that you did that." And he said to him, Are you still concerned about that? I left that a long time ago. So it's funny how hoaxes will. I think it when we keep something inside of us that we can't deal with, or are maybe putting our own thoughts and feelings how someone else should deal with it, I think, and you keep it alive, but the other person hasn't, you know, hasn't had the same kind of reaction on. I think somehow, too, that can, maybe it's misunderstandings or whatever, but that can create a lot of problems for some people. And in a way, it's a hoax, you know.
Yeah.
Things
well, it
happen,
is.
Unfortunately. And I've had an awful lot of really bad things happen, but I know that I can't change anything. And, you know, you have to be sort of like a duck out of water and, you know, shake yourself or shake it off and keep going and try as best as you can, you know, even though the struggle may be hard to do. But it's amazing how, to me, how some people can take something so simple and turn it into something so huge, and I'm talking about the incident that happened at the church a few years ago, and
yes.
And I find that some people are still living that. I like the way Ash put it, that a hoax is a lie, actually, you know. And but they still haven't been able to move forward from or disconnect from that or realize that. You can't keep holding on to things in the past. It's just like with family. Like, you can do something that happened 40 years ago, and family will always remember it. Where other people,
that's true.
You know, pardon me.
We're just laughing.
Pardon?
We're saying that's true, Betty. Family will remember
family,
it.
Family doesn't forget. And what you also said about the brushing yourself off, kind of just getting, you can't change anything, but you can stand up and brush yourself off. And sometimes doing that is the best example to other people that they can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
But Betty,
I find too that sometimes, you know, there are times in everyone's life when you do need someone to talk to. You do need someone to just listen, you know, so that you can unload whatever it is that's bothering you, because a lot of times there's a lot of layers. I think, Cheryl, you know that I lost my daughter to breast cancer, and then a year and a half ago I lost a son as well. So that was a lot of repressed grief and different things that went on, and of course it manifested itself in the physical when you're going to something very traumatic and emotional and mental and everything else that goes along with losing a child. But it's hard to brush it off on your own and pick yourself up and keep going. So in some instances, it's really good that you're not living in the past sort of thing. But if you have feelings where you're repressing the feelings or the grief or the emotional trauma, and you're not, it manifests itself in some way. And a lot of times I find that if having an open heart, open ears, and sometimes you just have to be quiet and just listen to what someone else is saying, because there's no fix for anybody. Everybody has to find what heals them personally and at what time. But sometimes you just need someone who's willing to listen and just know that you have that kind of silent support from a compassionate heart. So this subject is actually, it has many tendrils. You can go all different ways.
So many layers.
Subject that you're talking about.
Well, thank you, Betty. And I did know about your daughter and your son, and I knew actually from Jeannie. Jeannie shared that with me, and I sent you a prayer. And I can't imagine what it would be like to lose not only one child, but two. And I'm sorry for your loss. And with the nature of knowledge that you have and experience, you can have some comfort in that, knowing that they have continued. But still, it doesn't negate feeling how we feel when someone passes. I mean, it's very, very challenging.
It feels so permanent.
It feels permanent, and it just feels like such a permanent loss. I like that you shared about open heart, open ears, and be quiet. Yes, there's a lot to be gained in the silence. I was talking earlier about situations such as yours where we have to allow ourselves our time to process this kind of a thing, but it doesn't have to anything to do like that's the truth of what is. That's not anything that is a hoax. And you were speaking about what happened several years ago, and the people haven't moved on past it. And it's interesting because I will use this very candidly. What they're not able to move on from is because they believe their own hoax. They created something that wasn't based in reality. And if they're not letting go of it, they're just perpetuating the lie. And there's no freedom there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think, too, a lot of people, you know so many times, I like society thinks that, you know, you either have to be right or you have to be wrong. And sometimes for self-justification or whatever, sometimes you'll hold on to those things and just to prove to yourself that, yes, I was right and they were wrong. And it's too bad that we have to get on especially if you're, when you're professing to be a spiritualist and you're coming from that place where, you know, you're open-minded and open-hearted and spiritualist. I mean, you know, there's no judgment or anything in that. You know, but it's too bad that we have to do the right wrong thing, kind of labeling to maybe feed something in ourselves that we may feel that we need or require or whatever. But instead of moving on and just saying, well, you know, that happened, it's too bad, but, you know.
Well,
tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and you know what I was saying earlier about Jeannie's story and how this gentleman was falsely accused, and that was a pretty big accusation, and he didn't get overly upset by it. He just allowed it to be, accepted it as something that spirit was laying before him, and he accepted it, didn't see it as a burden, probably went through the pain of feeling ostracized and whatnot based on untruth, not based on what he actually did. But you're speaking about something that happened that I was very much a part of and that Jeannie was very much a part of. And I can say quite frankly the harm that was caused to us personally was unacceptable. It wasn't based on anything that was factual. It was only based on someone's something that someone created with the full intention of causing harm. And in that regard, I think that that's not cool, because it's not just like, hey, you know, someone has an idea of what's right and wrong. Someone else has a different idea. This is gray. I think this is more black and white than it is gray, because when you stick to the facts, for example, certain things that were being said, they weren't factual. There was no proof. There was nothing. It was all hearsay. There was no fact. So when we base anything, when we're actually taking a person's very character and pretty much assassinating it based on the rumors that we're creating, the lies that we're creating, that to me, you don't want to talk about right or wrong, but that to me is not, it's wrong.
No, it wasn't. But what I meant was that some other people who were involved in that created that, you know, in order to justify their what they did, was, you know, they're telling themselves that, oh, well, this happened because I was right. You know, I was right in doing this, and it's too bad, really.
Well, it is too bad because that becomes about ego. That's not even more. That's not about truth seekers. Mm-hmm. That's about my own pride, my own ego, my own inability to have the humility and the strength to say I was actually wrong. And there's so much more to be gained when we are wrong to be able to say it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that unfortunately, they're feeling the repercussions, but hopefully everybody will be able to just move on from a place of forgiveness.
Well, exactly.
You know, like, I'm not talking about you, by the way.
No, that's cool. And I didn't take it that way. And I honestly, I mean, that was a huge, huge deal for me. That was a huge, huge deal for Jeannie, for Heather, for all of us on the board.
I was astounded, like, especially when, you know, it's a spiritualist church, and there were healers there, and for, I was really astounded to see the route that they were being led down or decided to go on their own. I mean, you know, it was mind-boggling for me.
Yes.
And I can just imagine what you felt and what Jeannie felt. Well, I knew what Jeannie felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to take these experiences, Betty, the ones that are out of control, because what I went through was equally out of my control as the passings of your children, of yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
being able to grieve. And it's I had to do a different type of grieving. You've done your grieving around the loss of your children, which is huge. It's sort of two different situations, yet very similar in a way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel strongly that I can let it go, although it does come up. I mean, I think it's like anything. When something is traumatic or you feel it deeply, it still comes up, and it's like a continuous kind of letting go, a continual grieving, a continual forgiving. Even when my father passed, and I've had friends pass too, not children, but close people, I have a whole different viewpoint now because, I mean, I went through a lot of pain, but I also have a different viewpoint because of my belief system. When I didn't really understand that death is really just a transition, a transformation, when I felt it was a definite ending, that was so much harder for me to accept it as now. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And although I thought I had a deep understanding of that, but I think it's the level of pain. I think you know, depending on what it is, like there's some, like I know that there's that we don't ever die. I know that, but I guess when like you said, when a certain song will be on, and I'll think of my daughter, or I'll be making something and I'll think of my son, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yes.
So it's, yeah, they are reminders, and you do have to try to just maintain a semblance of peace, and sometimes it's hard, you know, and then sometimes you just smile, you make yourself smile at the memory, you know, and enjoy, it sort of takes you back to that moment where you were enjoying what it was that, you know, brought that memory up anyway. But yeah, it's a pretty slippery slope at times. But it sure is great talking to you.
Well, you too, and Betty.
I'm glad that you're still on the air.
Well, yeah, I wanted to thank you too for sharing what you said, because it always helps to hear from people who we don't hear from that often, and also to hear what you've went through and what you have been able to get through. Because obviously what you've been through is not it's not what most people can even fathom having to deal with, pain-wise, or, I mean, that's more than a double whammy. So the fact that you're even calling into this radio show, listening, learning, feeling, you're an amazing example.
Yeah.
So you really got to feel that right now. If you feel anything, please feel that. Feel pride in yourself.
Well, thank you, honey. That makes me feel good. And good luck with your show and your music.
Thank you. It's
to,
going great.
One of your CDs that you had online there, a sample of it or something. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, it was great. I think I sent you a little message there on Facebook about it. But keep on going. I love
thank you. Thank you, Betty. And
you're
thank
very
you
welcome.
For being for continue to support me, to support us. And know that, I have a lot of love for you and a lot of gratitude for the time that I got to spend with you. And thank you.
Well, we do have to get together for coffee.
I think so.
Yes.
I appreciate you calling in so much, and I send you much love and many blessings, and our hearts are with you.
Thank you so much. Much success to you, Nash.
Thank
and
you, Betty.
You're okay. Welcome, hon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's beautiful.
That's very beautiful.
I'm really grateful for Betty calling, and you know, that's the beauty of this, is that we kind of have an idea for a show, but like Betty said, there's many tendrils. You know, we're talking about hoaxes versus, it's kind of like hoaxes versus truth, or untruth versus truth, or this whole thing that we're all juggling, and we're all just trying to stay in ourselves and develop our characters and develop what matters to us, and who are we, and where does our integrity lie? Who are we as people? Are we steadfast? Are we weak? Are we strong? Does our strength mean that we will actually allow ourselves to be hurt, or maybe to be maligned, or maybe even have someone slander us? And it's not to say that we lay down and go, oh, keep doing it some more. I mean, it's not without some kind of a, well, maybe that's not true. But maybe we don't have to do something in retaliation. Gandhi talks about hate never gets rid of hate. Only love gets rid of hate. And no matter what I've gone through, I still keep coming back to that, because I can feel all sorts of emotion. I know that each of us ultimately end up in the feelings of what it is that we do. So even if someone were, you know, like we're talking about what I went through with the church, and even in relationship, in my relationship, even when I know that someone is out to cause me harm intentionally, to malign me, to misrepresent me, and I can feel the pain around that and the injustice, I can allow myself to feel that, but does it mean that I have to start going out there swinging?
No.
Because if I do, it just becomes a battle. It becomes a you know, he said, she said, they said, we said. And but it's something that each of us are faced with.
Well, it also, to keep on that about the hoaxes, a hoax really does help you see what is worth it and what is true. I mean, like even the celebrity hoaxes or whatever, you see, okay, you know, Bon Jovi's in the news because people say he died or whatever, like we mentioned earlier. And all of a sudden, just because Bon Jovi was mentioned, you can either A, have a new appreciation for them, go put them on your iTunes.
That's right, for being there.
You know what I mean? And so, like, even past relationships, like any of my past relationships that, you know, have felt like they could have been a hoax to me, and then realizing, okay, it meant something, so I'm not going to malign whoever it was, or, you know, the people that were involved. And so I'm glad that it turned into a bit of that, and I'm glad that we were able to you know, even what you've kind of been going through lately, you know, in past relationship, that, you know, people talk, and it
yes.
gets back to you.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
And that's hoax, because there's one side of a story. It's like our whole lives are the National Enquirer.
That's right.
But you know what? Those very people in the National Enquirer know the truth, and all of us are believing what we're fed. And that's where I am glad that I'm not a televangelist. I am really glad that I am not somebody who is feeding on the immaturity of how good we are to each other. Because believe it or not, even if we're thinking we're good to each other, sometimes we're really not. So that's, I'm really happy to say that I'm glad we did a part two of the show.
And I am too, and I'm glad that it went the direction I feel very strongly spirit led down this road. And thank you again, Betty. And I want to also mention another gift I was given is I was in a situation where I had to do chores as part of a rehabilitation program. And I was alone when I did my chores, and so were each of us. And it came up, the question was given, well, we don't really have to do them well. You know, we don't have to if we don't want to. And the answer was, no, you don't. But because we don't have to do them well, because no one will know whether we do or not, was the statement. And the answer was, well, no, you're right, you don't, but you will know.
Well,
you will know
that's exactly
if you've
it.
Done them well or not. And that, aha.
And that's going to infiltrate the way you think about yourself. And same as, like, say you're on Twitter, right? Or say you're just a person spreading crap. You know what I mean? It's the same kind of thing. Once you press that send button on Twitter, it's open to a million interpretations. Once you don't do your chores well, you're gonna be viewed by those people in a way that really didn't need to happen.
But it doesn't matter, because even if I didn't do my chores well, the fact is I know I didn't do them well.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not even what other people think of me, it's what I ultimately think of me.
But that's what
I'm saying. We come right back to self-love, and we come right back to our own integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even when people are hurling things at us, sometimes it takes everything in us not to hurl back,
mm-hmm.
not to want to retaliate, not to want to scream and punch a wall. But those are the times where we can just kind of breathe, take a moment, make a decision how we want to react, whether we want to react or not,
mm-hmm.
and still stay and come back to love. Always come back to love, because Gandhi's right. And Martin Luther talked about that too. That love, only love, dissipates hate. That hate does not get rid of hate.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is hating us, for us to hate them back does nothing except create more hatred. And the only way that we can take hatred to a place of neutrality and eventually love is by sending it love.
But what about hoaxes? Like, I know they're kind of, hatred and hoaxes are different, but what if, like, A, you know, it's a spiritual hoax, or B, it's a hoax that somebody's saying something about you, or C, it's, you know, like the celebrity stuff we've been talking about. How does that really relate to the hate?
Because you take a hoax, for example, where someone has lied about, say, a celebrity. It's how much fire you add. How much you add to fuel that fire. Are you going to start screaming and retaliating and saying, how dare you? I mean, I appreciate that Prince William and Princess Kate have taken the French to court. Like, that was, they set a precedence, mm-hmm. because no one's ever done that in the royal family. That's my understanding. And so they're saying that that's not cool, because that's how his mother died.
Mm-hmm.
Their belief is that his mother died because of paparazzi, and they were infiltrating, mm-hmm. and it wasn't okay. And in a way, how that was a hoax is that they really don't have permission to do such personal photography, you know, to photograph someone when they're in their mm-hmm. personal space. It's not cool. I mean, how many of us would be okay with getting undressed and, you know, with, you know, kind of near a window, but not thinking anybody can see us because there is a bush there, and then knowing that someone was in the bushes taking pictures with a high-powered lens? I don't think any of us would really appreciate that.
Yeah,
that
true.
Is a hoax because it's so unjust. It's a hoax in a different way, kind of a seeing it. It's a hoax in that it's not a cool thing to do. It's not something that is, hey, man, you know, I respect you.
Yeah,
it's disrespectful, and hoax is a disrespectful thing.
Well, and that's why I'm thankful for hoax. I've been thinking about this lately. That's why I'm really thankful for any negativity that's happened in my life, because I'm really truly able to see goodness.
That's right. And so, once again, we hear that Bon Jovi is dead, Morgan Freeman is dead. We all get, we love those and we realize they're not, and what are we? We're happy.
Yeah.
Because they can sing another song. Morgan Freeman can do another movie. We feel elation. So because of the hoax, we're elated.
Well, and even in relationships, it's about being, no matter what you've gone through, finally realizing later on that you're okay. You're okay once you are either in a new relationship and you've finally seen a new light. You've seen absolute beauty that you've been looking for all your life, and then you're like, oh, okay, you know, if I wasn't, you know, if I didn't meet some of the people that I've met, I wouldn't really know this beauty. So all I gotta say is we really appreciate everybody who's contributed to our show.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Some callers we didn't get to, but...
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, we just were kind of on a roll here. We appreciate you, Betty, for sharing what you did. And, yeah, I guess bottom line is we're all faced with hoaxes. We're all faced with truth, even within ourselves. What do we choose to do? What do we choose to believe? What do we choose to perpetuate? And let's hope that each of us make the best choices, because not only for ourselves, but for everyone, because I also believe that the best choice for me is the best choice for all. And I think that's true for everybody. So we appreciate all of you.
And keep watching us. We got some interesting stuff coming up soon, and we're excited to unleash it upon the world. We're working with some great people.
Yeah, we got some really great news today about one of our songs. So we will keep you posted.
We will keep you posted. We are more hopeful about the future of Hologram than we've ever been. And we are so excited to have you along for the ride. So
thank you,
everybody. Thank you to everybody who listened. And yes, we got some great shows coming up, too. We got a show on extraterrestrials.
Yeah, with Ash's auntie. That's our next show.
Yeah, that's going to probably be our next show, hopefully. We'll talk to her. But yeah, we got some interesting stuff coming up. So kiss a tree, everyone, and have a great night.
We love you. Good night. Bye.
Good night.